We are in the book of Jude.
We're looking at the character of these false teachers. God described them as certain men crept in unawares, and they weren't good guys. They were men who took the word of God and changed it to their liking. They didn't like the Trinity. Well, okay, well, then the Trinity just isn't a reality. They don't like eternal security. Well, okay, then. We just won't teach it. God didn't really give us eternal life. And so all kinds of things that they were switching around. The first epistle of John talks about false doctrine going around there at the end of the first century, which was denying that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And that's pretty much what the whole book is about. And there are still those today. They were in my neighborhood a week ago and knocked on my door. And I'll tell you more about that this coming Sunday night. They're really not that hard. And I was telling Pastor about this. And they're really not that hard to talk to. I know we kind of get scared, but if you're here for the Kent Hovind video, you heard him make this statement that he loves to debate the evolutionists because he wins every time, because he's right and they're wrong. It's kind of hard to defend a lie. And it's the same with the cults. They don't have the truth, and so you can beat them every time because they contradict themselves. And the poor little fellow, I felt sorry for him, to be honest with you. I really did, because he was just getting started. But like I said, I'll tell you more about that Sunday night during the track report. But we're in Jude verses 12 and 13, so let's read those, and then we'll jump into our handout. Verse number 12 tells us this, talking about these certain men crept in unawares. He says, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you. And so there's the first character. There's spots in the feast, dangerous obstacles that are beneath the surface and pretty much out of view unless you're looking for them. All right. Then he goes on to say, feeding themselves without fear, clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds. And so they're waterless clouds, which to us aren't a bad thing. I'd rather have waterless clouds than I would have rain clouds. I don't like the rain. I'd rather have snow than rain because I don't get wet in snow, and I don't mind pushing it around to get it off the sidewalk. But in an agricultural society, that rain, and in an arid culture or environment that they were in, that rain was critical. And so they needed those rain clouds, and they had a whole different view on the rain than we did. And so to say someone's a cloud without water is a massive insult. And so that's what we're looking at now. But let's go ahead and read on, then we'll come back to that. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds. Then they're compared to trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And so he has a lot to say about that as he compares them to trees, and that's what the handout that's on the back table is about, is these trees whose fruit withereth, and we'll talk about each one of these descriptions. Then verse 13, he compares them to raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Then he compares them to wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And so God gives us a number of descriptions of the characters, the false teachers, and it's really no different today. Those men that deny the gospel, that deny the truth of God's word, and you know, there's some that claim salvation the same way we get saved, but boy, they've denied everything else in the word of God. They'll say that they're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but then they'll say that God used evolution to create everything. Well, is that true? Not according to the Bible. And if you're not sure on that, don't miss the videos, because he makes it very clear. 6 24-hour periods of time. You know how he can make it so clear? Because God does in his word. And so it says the night and the day. Yeah, thank you. Even in the morning, we're the first day. And so anyway, you know it better than I do. Good for you. All right. So God makes it very clear. But these guys, even today, are these spots, and they're these clouds without water. Now, we're if you still have your handout, we're down at the bottom letter B, talking about them being carried about of winds. You know, this is talking about clouds just blowing around in the sky. And what God is trying to get across by comparing them to clouds without rain that are carried about of the wind is that they're unstable in doctrine. Look back, if you would, in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. The first few verses there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction. You see, God doesn't take false doctrine lightly, does he? And so he says swift destruction. Verse number 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Don't you find that incredible? Many following their pernicious ways. You would think we would know better. But the problem is we don't spend time in God's word. And when we do, we don't apply ourselves. It's so important that we know the major areas of doctrine. What are the major areas? Well, you need to know theology, the doctrine of God, who he is. You need to know the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and be able to back that up with the Word of God, so that if someone says something that's a little bit sketchy, you pick it up. A lot of the TV preachers, the Pentecostals, they don't say, I'm a Pentecostal, but I've mentioned this several times, that they don't believe in the Trinity. They believe, but they'll say it in a way that you don't pick up on it. But they believe that the only God there is right now is the Holy Spirit. And that's why they say that, or why they proclaim to glorify the Holy Ghost without any guilt of conscience. Even though the Bible says that when the comforters come, he will not speak of himself. They justify it because they say, well, he's God. There is no other God. There is no Father in heaven to glorify. There is no Son seated at the right hand of the Father. There's just the Holy Ghost. That's what they believe. And so, we've got to be able to pick up on that. We need to know and I went through all these doctrines when we first started, earnestly contending for the faith, the doctrine of Jesus, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, separate doctrines and theology proper. We need to know the doctrine of salvation, soteriology. How do we get saved? What does it tell us in Hebrews 11:6? Now, we don't normally link that verse to salvation, but I'm going to here in just a second. Hebrews 11:6. Anyone tell me or give us an idea what that verse says? That's exactly what I'm looking for. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what about this person that thinks they can lose their salvation? Do they have faith in God and his ability to keep them saved? No. Can a person like that possibly please God? Not according to the Word of God. The Word of God says, if they don't have faith in me, they cannot please me. And so they go around strutting themselves up as great teachers of the Word of God, and they're a disappointment to the Father in heaven. And that's being kind, in my opinion, towards those that teach anyway. There's many that have followed their pernicious ways, but those that teach that you can lose your salvation, because it's nowhere in the Word of God. From beginning to end, from the first in Genesis 1:1 to the amen of Revelation 22:21, on every page you'll find eternal security, every single. But you need to know these things. So if someone gets up and says something that's other doctrine, you need to recognize that. That's how many followed their pernicious ways, because they just didn't know. All right, we're in verse number 2 of 2 Peter chapter 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Why does Christianity take it on the chin today? It's not because of the born-again believers. Now, there's a number of born-again believers, true men and women of God that have failed. You're probably among them at one point or another. But that's not why Christianity is taking it on the chin. Christianity is taking on the chin because of these certain men crept in unawares that are in it for all the wrong reasons. And so we'll talk more about that under the trees that have the withered fruit. But people laugh. They know what's right and what's wrong. I was reading, I think it was in Sword of the Lord, about our testimony. And this is probably dated just a little bit from where they clipped this from. But they were talking about a young lady who got a burden to witness with Christ, and she was at a dance. And the young man that was escorting her there was lost, and she knew he was lost. And so she asked him if he was a Christian, and he said no. And he said, "Are you?" And she said, "Yes." Isn't that something if he had to ask, "Are you?" But when she said, "Yes, I am," he said, "Then what are you doing here?" You see, she didn't have a problem with it, and that's the way it is with Christianity. Those that want to justify smoking and drinking and going to the wrong places, they justify it in their minds because the devil has deceived them, but the world knows, and they laugh, and they mock, maybe not to your face, but they certainly do behind your back. And so that's why, it's because of these false teachers crept in unawares, that don't have the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God, that are making a mockery of Christianity. And so the world then laughs at us. And so let's move to verse number 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Doesn't that just describe the modern TV preacher? Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They're no better than Sears and Roebuck, no better than Amazon.com. All they want to do is get your money. That's what they're in it for. And that's what God is saying right here in 2 Peter chapter 2 about these certain men crept in unawares. You see, they're unstable in doctrine. Unstable in doctrine, because they could care less about doctrine. They're going to switch back and forth, and whatever's the fad of the day, whatever brings in the most money is what they're going to teach. Whatever brings in the most money. But you know, there's a lot of things we preach in the Word of God in churches like ours that are not popular, and there are people that will not attend. If we preach against sodomy like the Word of God does, there's people that'll get offended. And they'll go somewhere where they soft pedal it, and they ignore it, and they coddle it. It offends them. So what do we do? Do we say, well, we'll just bow to the crowd and let them dictate what we're going to preach? No, the Bible commands us to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, whether it's popular or not, because it's certainly popular preaching in heaven. And so, and there's a whole lot of topics. Not very many preachers preach against booze or against cigarettes or against gambling and the lottery. Man, I'm so sick of gambling. I'm so sick of all the billboards of marijuana. I said it before, our state has to be a laughing stock. All the billboards, we went to the Maslin meeting coming back into Michigan. Every other billboard, probably even more than that, are advertising a pot shop. We're a laughing stock of our nation. It's disgusting. But where's anybody preaching about this stuff? Certainly not in most churches, because they're changing their doctrine. We're still to be holy as God is holy. So they're unstable in doctrine. Then, number 2, if you have the handout, aloof in their attitude. Aloof in their attitude. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, we don't know 100% what the Nicolaitans were all about, but the word means victors of the people, victors of the people. And so from what we have in the Word of God, what little we have about the Nicolaitans, they seem to be those that elevate the clergy above the layman. In other words, the preacher or the priest is closer to God just because he's a preacher or a priest than anybody else can possibly be. That you as a layman cannot possibly approach unto God as close to them. And so we have our Pentecostals and Charismatics selling you holy water, or not holy water, but water that they've blessed, and selling you the prayer carpets and prayer shawls and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Why? Because we can't approach the throne of grace boldly, like it tells us in the book of Hebrews. You see, it goes back to the Word of God and that shifting of doctrine, but aloof in their attitude that I am better than you. I ought to be wearing gold Rolexes and gold rings on each finger of each hand, and I ought to have that fancy $5,000 suit, and I ought to be driving that brand new shiny Jag, right? You thought I was going to say Cadillac. No, not on your life. I want a good car. But anyway, they think they deserve it because they're a preacher, because they're closer to God than you. And the arrogance of that philosophy, God says he hates it. I believe this is what the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is, that the preacher doesn't have to do what he preaches because he's the preacher and he's so close to God he can't possibly sin. Well, real life and history shows the fallacy of that attitude and that statement. But they're aloof in their attitude. And then also they block the sun. Block the sun. We're talking about clouds blocking the sun. Interesting verse in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2. Because the word is S-U-N rather than S-O-N. But that's why we find relief from these clouds without water, because it blocks the heat of the summer sun. But they needed the water in their environment. And so in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, notice that's S-U-N there, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in, now notice the pronoun there, his wings, not its wings. It's not talking about the physical sun up in the sky. It's talking about the Son of God, who's above the sky in heaven above at the right hand of the Father, with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. In other words, you'll experience the blessings of God. So these clouds, these false teachers, these certain men crept in unawares, block the Son of Righteousness, block the sun, so that men can't see it. And this goes back to what we read in 2 Peter about it's because of these men that Christianity has been made a laughingstock, because people can't see who Christ is. And they associate these men with God himself, and they say, if that's what God's like, I'll have nothing to do with him. And there's a lot of people in hell for that very reason, because there's so many charlatans out there that could care less for the people. In fact, just the opposite of caring. They just seek to make merchandise. They see them as a resource to get rich. Just like an oil well. Pump all the oil out of that well as you can, and when it runs dry, just board it up and move on to the next one. And that's just the way they are. And no different than the gambling industry. They'll suck everything out that they can. And when you ain't got nothing left, they'll give you a phone number to talk to, some counselors that are paid by the state and not out of their pocket, and they'll tell you, don't gamble anymore. Well, that's already settled, because you're already too far in debt to be able to go in and gamble. So a lot of good that's going to do you. But, you know, it's sad when preachers, men and women who call themselves men and women of God, have that same attitude. No real care, no real concern. And, you know, Joel Osteen fits right into this bill. And so does Rick Warren. Fits right into this. They don't care about the people that they're speaking to. Why do I say that? because they do not preach sin, against sin. Everybody's okay, everybody's fine. You know, if Stephen grabbed, when he was a little baby or guy, if they grabbed a bottle of poison and started to drink it, I wouldn't pat him on the head and say, you're just fine. You're just expressing yourself by drinking whatever you want. You're such a good little boy. Absolutely not. Now, I'd pull it out of their hands and I'd paddle them so they'd never touch it again. I'd let them know that it's harmful and it'll hurt them. And preachers are to be no different. That's the calling of God. That's expressing love. But to coddle and okay everything is the opposite of love. And that's what God is, and who God is talking about in these verses. Certain men crept in unawares. Now, I'm not saying they're saved or lost because I honestly don't know. I would hope Rick Warren is saved, being a Southern Baptist. Hopefully, he heard the gospel and trusted Christ, but boy, has he sure gone astray. And I heard recently they kicked him out because he retired from the church, but they ordained lady preachers in the church. And so his church got kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. You got to be really bad to get kicked out of that thing. They'll allow a lot of things in it. All right, let's do one more quick study on this clouds without water. Contrasting these certain men crept in unawares with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have no water, no value. Conclusion, these men, clouds without water, shows them to be liars and aloof. Liars and aloof. All right, now let's compare them with Christ real quickly. In John 4:14. John chapter 4, verse 14. Now the common denominator is going to be the water. These certain men crept in unawares, have none to offer. They're clouds without water. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so we find that unlike these certain men crept in unawares, Jesus gives living water to the thirsty. He gives living water to the thirsty. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see a second thing having to do with water and Jesus. Contrasting him with these certain men crept in unawares. It's interesting, they're direct opposites. These men have no water. Jesus has nothing but water to offer. And it shows how unlike Christ these false teachers are. Back in Jude's day and in John's day, in Paul's day, but also in our day, things haven't changed. All right, Ephesians 5:26. Now you're thinking he's going to talk about marriage. Well, it does, but it's only secondary. What Jesus is trying to show us is how much he loves us by using the marital relationship to describe it and illustrate it for us. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so we looked at this previously in John chapter 15, but where the word of God brings cleansing, but Jesus uses water and will sanctify his church by the water of the word. And then about clouds, one last one, maybe not water in this one, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what's in that chapter, the second half, that has to do with clouds? Yeah, the rapture. And so one day Jesus will come in the clouds for his own. And so that's contrasting these false teachers with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not like Jesus at all. They put on a show, put on a religious appearance, and play Christianity. And they're selling what they're showing. And that's all it is, making merchandise. We need to be aware of that. And so we need to know our doctrine. As Jude said, earnestly contending for the faith. Got to know the faith in order to contend for it, so that you're contending for what's in this word, the word of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you'll bless it. Help us to know your word. Father, we know you've given us your Holy Spirit to indwell us and to guide us into all truth. And so each of us should know these things in order to defend the faith and to be able to recognize these certain men crept in unawares. Father, we know they're deceivers and sometimes not easy to identify. But Father, help us, we pray, that we might stand boldly for the truth in this generation in which we live. Now, Father, as we each go our separate way, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.